welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by Luna Webb, this is show number 32, June 3rd, 2010.
This is number 32, and it is June.
Oh, yes, it is. It is June already. Well, hey, so I'm Dave Barger.
I'm Ansley Phones.
And we don't have a specific focus this time, nor do we have a guest.
But there's lots of news.
Yeah, so it is kind of grab bag news, all under the social media umbrella. So let's dive into this thing.
Well, the first thing that we've got on our little outline here is that the AP Stylebook, which is the stylebook by which LunaWeb and the Social Expedition do all of their writing and copy, has released 42 new rules in the social media realm.
Okay.
For how, basically, capitalization, what things are words. For instance, the word website, sometimes written as capital W-E-B space S-I-T-E, they've decided is one word lowercase. They also made Googled and Googling words. And I had always thought that Google was already an official verb. I mean,
oh, really?
I've been using that since high school. And yeah. that was a few years ago.
So I don't know. I would imagine, you know, I don't know what the exact process is for how these things become legitimate words, verbs, nouns, whatever. But it would seem like, you know, it has to become kind of a conventional wisdom, a conventional, you know, utilization first before maybe being considered by AP, but not always, because there's some things in there like last comma, you know, red comma, white comma, and blue.
The listing rule.
Is that what's
comma
called?
And listing. I have no idea.
It drives me bonkers.
But
because I myself prefer to take the more logical approach, and there's commas separating everything. The comma before the and.
My favorite thing that they added, though, is they added the word unfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Is now an official AP legitimate word, you know, for use in the New York Times and everything.
Yeah, right.
So,
well, you know, when it's you know, it can be quite an emotional blow to be unfriended sometimes, you know, depending on who it is.
And now you're being grammatically correct according to the AP Stylebook. When you say unfriend, not hyphenated, just unfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. In Twitter news, we've got the new You Both Follow feature. So when you're viewing someone else's Twitter page, instead of just having the section where it shows all the little icons of things they follow, there will be another section, kind of like the mutual friends section in Facebook. Now, I got on Twitter this morning, and on Mashable it said that this was already up and running, and I couldn't see it on any of my friends on their pages. But apparently that's going to be a thing like mutual friends on Facebook for Twitter handles you are both following. So that could be interesting. Makes it a little bit more of a social network, I feel.
Really? Okay. I'm trying to wrap my head around that one. If I'm already following somebody, oh, I guess it'd be like, oh, hey, Ansley, I didn't know that you also followed Rachel.
Right.
So then what? You know?
I'm not sure. But maybe it could also be a...
Maybe it's a starting point for conversations or something.
Exactly.
It's like, did you see her that day that, you know... She wore that funky hat. All right, I don't know what the deal is. But hey, let's step back here a little bit. Let's go back to this whole style thing. Because I think it would be useful to our listeners to understand that what and how these things work. Because there's a few different styles. It's not just the AP. Who are the other big guys, big styles that are out there?
Oh, you know, there's Chicago. There's one that starts with an M.
Okay.
And there's one that starts with a T.
Really? So there's like, what, four big styles? So there's AP, the Chicago, and then the M and the T?
It's been a long time since high school, Dave.
And so,
I have no idea.
And so the way that I understand this, because I've been, you know, recently schooled on this by some of these writer-type people, is that you got to pick one style and then stick with it. Or make your own style, I guess, and then stick with that. But so consistency is the key. Here.
Well, this is one thing they talk about a lot in web writing seminars and things like that. You know, because web writing is a little more casual and there's a little more flexibility in the use of correct grammar and things like that. But
yeah.
One thing that is key is picking a style and sticking with it. And that doesn't always mean choosing a style book. I mean, style books, that's getting pretty specific.
Mm-hmm. I see. Sure.
In your web writing.
Yeah, so there again, it's the consistency thing is the key here. And so at LunaWeb, we've been using AP recently, but some of these things, some of these newer 42 authorized uses of how, you know, whatever, that some of those things we've been using, we were actually using before for quite some time, like the word website, one word, lowercase. But we've always capitalized the word web and also the word internet as like proper nouns.
One thing that was something different than I have always done is they put smartphone as two words, so smart space phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always written it as one word.
Yeah. I'll probably mess up on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was good. I just wanted to like backtrack on there and kind of talk about that a little bit more. So, rocking on here, we have, what is that? It's not a four-letter word. It starts with an F. It's a...
It's an eight-letter word. Facebook.
That's like double a four-letter word.
Oh, it's really bad. But there's very little Facebook news this week that we're actually going to cover.
Good.
So this should be like a 2-minute segment. First of all, I wanted to reassure our listeners. We had someone at our breakfast yesterday, the Social Expedition breakfast that we have every month, ask about the like virus. They had heard that there was something wrong with the like buttons on several websites. And I looked into it, and it's not a virus. So clicking these like buttons is not going to do anything bad to your computer. The link just might not work. So it might not do what it's supposed to when you press the button. There's a little error thing that comes up. It doesn't do the counting on some websites. Oh. And CNN actually had some luck with changing the text from like to recommend, which I didn't understand that you could do.
Yeah.
But they had some luck doing that, and then it suddenly worked. But Facebook is trying to remedy the problem. So don't worry about clicking like buttons. You won't get a virus.
Gee, I wonder what evil, let's don't be evil force started that rumor about the virus and the like button.
Are you implying something about Google?
I don't know. So let's do this. While we're at that, because you didn't know about the like recommend thing, let's make sure in the show notes that we put a link to where you can go create these little widgets on Facebook. Because that when you do go create them, that is one of the options when you create it, whether you want your button to say like or you want it to say recommend.
Right.
And it probably just kind of depends on the nature of what it is, the information that you're putting out there. If quite frequently you have bad news that you're putting out there, you may not want to have the like button. You know, although people do make note that, hey, this is a good article, whatever, that can be confused sometimes with, well, I don't want to say I like the fact that this terrible thing is happening right now.
I will include that link in the blog post.
Great.
In the show notes.
All right.
The other things with Facebook, really quickly, there is a new U.S. politics page. It's U.S. politics on Facebook is the name of the page, and it looks like it's going to be a really neat update on kind of the latest in politics.
Yeah.
And that it will give people a chance to give feedback.
Now, do you pay attention to those kinds of things?
Politics?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Do you? Okay. Well, that's good. Because somebody around here needs to, I guess, but because it's not me. So that's good. So have you checked that page out?
I did. It's there's not a lot on there right now.
Mm-hmm.
But George W. Bush also joined Facebook and has a page, and he has put up 2, maybe 3 posts and already gotten well over 2,000 comments just from those 2 posts. And I'm sure not all of it is positive.
No.
But I think that it's really good that he's embracing social media and the fact that you can give feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who did have a rather low approval rating, that shows some gusto.
Yeah, I think that's part of the job, the low approval rating.
Well, yes.
Yeah, so...
And that's probably the only time I've said positive words about... Never mind. This isn't political.
Yeah. On that note, so I did run into something here that I thought would be good to inject here, and that is that Maryland may regulate the campaign use of social media. And so I found that to be a little interesting. What they're saying there is that such rules will protect the public from misinformation and candidates from people who may try to tarnish their reputation by establishing false accounts in their name. So yet again, social media, you know, is kind of, it's evolving, and we're looking at the point where there's some legislation that has to, you know, there's some rules that some governing authority has to say, you know, here's the line and you have crossed it.
Absolutely.
You know, kind of thing. So more and more of that, I'm sure, as we continue as a society to use these tools and find new ways to use them and misuse them, unfortunately.
Well, that gives us a good segue into our next thing that has to do with politics as well.
What's up with this?
Well, I know that the oil spill is something that has been unavoidable. If you have looked at the news, if you have listened to the news at all, you have heard about this oil spill and what a horrible situation it is, probably again and again. And, you know, we're hoping that you're trying to take action in some way or other. And one way that you can do it through social media is to follow the Deepwater Horizon Unified Command and their response. And they are on Facebook at Deepwater Horizon Response is the name of the page. They give you links to places that you can voice your opinion on proposals or vote and sign petitions. And they're supplying a really good place for you to give response to what's going on. And there's also they're also on Twitter at oil_spill_2010. Mm-hmm. And if this is a news item that you are passionate about, I highly suggest checking it out. It's a really good Facebook page.
And we hope you're passionate about it. You know, the way that we've seen social media kind of take, you know, be used during this whole thing has ranged from BP and other agencies, you know, specifically that the Unified Command's use of social media to let people know what's going on. But then also, of course, many people are very offended by the situation and want to vent a little bit. And so there's that going on with a lot of boycott BP, myself included, joining that page. But it's more of a, hey, you know, we need to vent, temporarily spank, hey, I don't approve of what you did. But then at some point we have to move on. And I think for some folks who have really been kind of jumping on some of this social media type stuff from the beginning of the spill, they may be feeling that sense of it's time to move on now, to move on from pointing the finger and assigning blame and look at, okay, this is a tragic thing that's happening to our planet. Yes, right. What can we do? I vented. You know how I feel. Okay, good. Now let's fix the problem and get it cleaned up and look at how we can keep this from happening again. You know, this whole thing is very moving, and it's great to see such interest being put into looking at alternative energy and other options that are there. And I'm sure as more and more of that is going to hit the table and more people are using it, social media will be used to share what people's experiences are with these alternatives. You know, we're kind of spoiled. You know, Jeff Livingston, who's been putting some great blog posts out there recently, he had a statement here that kind of really stuck with my mind, and that was like, all of our hands are a little greasy. Because we are. We all use this. I mean, there's no way, even if you walk, you know, let's say if you don't drive, it's not all just vehicular type stuff. Petroleum is used in so many kinds of things and fabrics and products and stuff that we have. So it's very difficult to avoid. So there's not a quick fix, but obviously it's got everybody's attention now. So hopefully social will help get us past this anger phase and into a more of a solution phase. I don't know. It's exciting to see, really.
We're going to put links to the Twitter page and the Facebook page of the Deepwater Horizon Unified Command response on our show notes, and we hope that you'll go check it out.
Let's also put some links on there to some other podcasts that have been out here recently. One is for immediate release, which is one of the podcasts that I listen to with a great degree of regularity. Then also Jeff Livingston's podcast, who it's much more, it's pretty conversational. It gets pretty snarky. It's not always suitable for work because these people are just telling it like it is kind of thing and no holds barred. We should put that out there as well. Some other things to go listen to. But on for immediate release, they recently had a spokesperson on there from BP, who I actually happen to be a long time for immediate release listener. And now, you know, he's having to step up to the plate. So he's actually been a member of that kind of listening community for a while. And he also happens to be big dog over at BP. So it's a great podcast to listen to. And kind of gets into a lot of this, the Unified Command and how that kind of thing works, and kind of coming at it from a different perspective because they're looking at it from the UK, looking at the United States with this Unified Command and how that's kind of put together. And it's very interesting. So let's make sure that we link out to that. A lot of good stuff going on there. And unfortunately, it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. And I think we're all kind of resigning to that fact. So in the way that people have been kind of using social media to kind of vent and express themselves have been to not only just join these fan pages, but occasionally reshare information that's coming from these pages, changing their own avatars to reflect either BP with a big bucket of oil kind of spilled on the top of it, or wildlife that's all black and crude oilish with the little BP logo on there. It's great. People being able to say, hey, this is brand me. This is what I stand for. This is what I believe in, what I think is right and wrong. And people are able to brand themselves that way. And it's that self-expression. It's awesome. Even though it's quite diverse and it's not always something that sits well with everybody, it's great that we have that opportunity to do that. I think that's part of the juice.
I did see on your Facebook that you suggested, and it wasn't even really an angry vent, it was a, you know, just letting people know might not be a good idea to have company cars seen in BP gas stations right now.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a slam on BP. Mm-hmm. It was just like, hey, there's so many people that have a problem with BP right now.
Absolutely.
That maybe, you know, your big logo sitting there getting filled up with, you know, a full tank of gas is not a good idea.
Absolutely.
I had some good responses on that particular post, though. Lang Wiseman, who is a prolific writer and a fantastic attorney and also a client, gave me some opposing views on that. So you might, you know, if you're faced with buddies, go check it out. Okay, so what else? We're rocking on here.
Well, the last little bit of news before I would like to talk about our breakfast yesterday and the really interesting work we did in our core conversation. I just wanted to let folks know AT&T has dropped the unlimited data plan.
Yeah.
And so iPhone and iPad users. The unlimited plan for an iPhone was $30 a month. Now for $25 a month, you get 2 gigabytes, and then you can pay a little extra per gigabyte. They say it'll only affect the heaviest users, but as mobile technology and smartphones become more and more widespread, it's very likely that the heavy user now will become the average user of tomorrow. But on the upside, it should make their network a lot faster if people are regulating their usage a little bit.
I think after they get a couple of bills, you know, this kind of goes back to the way old days, back into the 80s. With the networks that are out there like Prodigy and CompuServe, AOL, back before they went to the flat fee of the 1995, you used to pay by the minute. Oh yeah, yeah. So it wasn't data that you were downloading, because you didn't get to download much, because everybody was on 14.4 modems or less, you know, 28.8 if you had a really extreme need, like a graphics savvy guy, you know. So they charge you by the minute. And my goodness, there were some people out there that had AOL bills, myself included, of hundreds of dollars. And so once you get a couple of those, that's a good spanking. That will get you offline, you know, get you out of the house.
I bet.
Of course, you know, now, you know, here we are talking about, now this has progressed to mobile, you are out of the house. And that's the whole point. You know, you're taking advantage of the mobility, you know, the connectivity through being mobile. And now it's not so much the minutes as it is how much data you're downloading. And This has been a concern of the industry, of our industry, ever since it began. Because you have heavy users and then you have the real lightweight users. But it's an accounting nightmare. It used to be an accounting nightmare to keep up with that and be able to bill based on your actual usage. It's called metered usage or metered access. And so it's just like a meter, just like how much electricity you're using. You get a bill based off of your usage. At our house, we don't have cable TV. We don't have satellite TV. So we watch our movies pretty much exclusively. We download them off of Netflix. You know, we used to use Netflix and have them, you know, we had 3 actual DVDs in circulation that would come to our house and we would mail them back. We hardly do that anymore at all. We just download what's available to be played. And right now we're getting that for the sweet low cost through the cable company, you know, through Comcast, the internet. Of like, you know, I don't know, was it $60 a month, something like that. And we're watching a ton of movies. And so when that price goes up on us, we deserved it. We're getting away with a really good deal right now, you know, because we're not having to pay for movie rentals. We're not watching TV. So Hulu's, you know, we've got one computer sitting there connected to a television. And that's pretty much where we get all of our, you know, movies and TV type shows. So it's been a long time coming, and I'm sure after people kind of get more acclimated to whatever AT&T's doing, the other carriers that are out there, as well as backbone providers, are not, and it's not even backbone providers, but other access and other internet access providers are going to be watching what's going on here with AT&T, and they're going to take action after that. You know, how well, what are people's concerns? You know, what are they up in arms about? And no doubt react, and we'll see more and more of that come about. Because in reality, and this is why I retracted when I said the backbone providers. These are the companies that are out there with these huge, huge, big pipes on the backbone of the internet. Okay, those guys at that level, they actually charge based on usage. But they're charging other companies based on usage. Those companies, in turn, they just kind of break it down one flat fee. it makes it easier on the billing and all that, but you've got so many people that are using way much more bandwidth than others who may be on there occasionally to check email, but they're all paying the same price right now. That's, it's not right. It's almost like socialized access or something, you know, in reality. All right. So what do you make of that?
Of the content
do you,
regulation?
Yeah, you download a lot of stuff?
You know, I'm on a BlackBerry, yeah. And I am so over it.
So over it. Like,
so over my BlackBerry, because I don't get to do a lot of the fun downloading. I, you know, my BlackBerry even has a hard time watching videos, so I'm not downloading a whole lot of content. I check my email on my phone, and that's about it.
I've never watched a movie on my phone, either the iPhone or the Droid. I mean, that can...
Oh, no, I was just talking about, like, YouTube videos.
Okay,
I can't even watch YouTube videos.
Okay, I thought you were talking about, you know, a 90-minute movie. You know,
nope.
Okay. Star Trek or something. Okay, I got you. So you're looking at another phone right now. You're looking at the...
I want the HTC Incredible so badly. It's got 8-megapixel camera. It's got Snapdragon.
Wait, what is Snapdragon?
It's some sort of program that makes the internet lightning fast on that phone.
Oh.
It is amazing. It is faster than my MacBook.
Now, I just have to ask this of you, okay? Have you actually ever seen this fastness that you're drooling over? Oh, you have?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I went and played with it. And granted, the one at the Verizon store doesn't have much stuff on it because, you know, it doesn't have any music on it. It doesn't have, you know, anything at all memory-wise on it to slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still so fast.
Really? Okay. I've got my little marketing, you know, antibodies going up right here, you know. But to hear that you actually, you know, because you've got more influence over me right now than the Verizon store guy.
I went.
Or lady,
it was
you know, because I know they're going to tell me it's great. It's lightning fast.
It was so fast.
Yeah.
And it's got an 8-megapixel camera.
Well, you know,
that's as much as my digital camera, like my little point and shoot.
Way more than you're ever going to need to post stuff. I tell you what my experience has been with the phone cameras, and that is their light sensitivity. You know, so even though it may be 8 megs, like, how sensitive is it to it? How, you know, do you have to have a flash? You know, and so, okay, so they put this little LED flash on there, woohoo, you know, which works for about 4 feet. But we tend to shoot more events and try and document types, you know, so we're not just sitting across the table from somebody or arm's length from somebody, you know, having a beer. These are rooms of people, not always in well-lit situations, so the lighting becomes a very key component for what we do. You know.
I did do some research on that, and I saw some sample pictures taken with it, and they looked pretty nice. Of course, you know, it's hard to gauge what
the
lighting situation
pictures.
Was because I wasn't there in the environment where it was taken, but I'm really excited about this. I hope that it comes out in certified pre-owned really soon so that I can buy it, because I'm not due for an upgrade until, like, March of next year. But...
So we were talking about what was going on at the breakfast.
Right. I think that this was one of the most interesting core conversations we've had at a breakfast. Mm-hmm. We did a little bit of tribe sourcing for 2 nonprofit organizations, Forever Young Senior Wish Organization, with the founder and president of that organization, Diane Height, and that nonprofit. They ask senior citizens, 65 and up, a wish that they have towards the end of their life, and they try to make that wish come true, and they've got a special focus on World War II veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, they organized a trip and took, you know, several World War II veterans who might have otherwise never had the chance to go to Washington, D.C., to go to the memorial that was built in their honor. And they went and saw it, and it was apparently just a moving experience, and they're trying to organize another one. And then we've also got Marcy Von Perkins with Women of Style, Spirit, and Success, who's an expeditioner regular. And we worked with them on what they can do in social media to further their nonprofit efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And we really put all of our heads together from all of our different experiences and all of our different skill levels, and we tried to come up with some solutions for them. And it was a really great example of this idea that we've been kind of formulating in our head called tribe sourcing, which is this spirit of cooperation through competition. So you've got, you know, several different groups, maybe normally in competition with each other, maybe normally they don't have anything to do with each other, coming together, putting their heads together to come up with a richer solution to a problem than one person might have come up with otherwise. And I really think that we did that yesterday for them. I think that we had several different perspectives come through. They were asking about how they might get sponsors for their events. And we were suggesting some ways they might be able to use Twitter or Facebook to give shout outs to maybe companies they're eyeing for sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe spending a couple of tweets or a couple of Facebook posts just saying, great job, love what you're doing. This is Diane Hite from, you know, Forever Young, Sing Your Wish. And then maybe then asking for something. And so we were kind of formulating how they might use these social media tools in order to make these goals happen.
And the part of that magic is that it was brainstorming. It was a very discussion type of a session. And so it was not a formal, it was like, okay, Ansley, what do you have to say? Okay, thank you very much. Next person, Dave, how about you? It wasn't like that at all. It was the brainstorming format, very free-flowing, which we're all inspiring each other with these ideas and happening real time. That inspiration allows us to come up with even more ideas. And it is really a fun thing to be a part of. I'm glad to hear that you had such a good time. We've had outstanding sessions there at the breakfast of all kinds and have tried various things out. This was not planned. It just kind of happened. Like the very first time that we had a tribe sourcing session, it was at one of the Twilight camps. It wasn't planned. It just kind of happened that way. And so we're actually looking at working to formalize some tribe sourcing type of sessions. Yeah.
We're working on the name right now.
So I like the name that you've got on the table right now, the Tribe Storm. I think it's good. We'll see how it goes. As long as there's not, like, you know, the light version is the Tribe Touch, you know, or the Tribe Pad.
No.
So then that is you know, using some co-opetition to take care of some of these organizations that are taking care of the community. So taking care of those that are taking care of us, I guess.
And we'll include links to those organizations in our podcast notes. Great organizations. And we're really glad that they came out to the breakfast yesterday. Let's see. We won't have a breakfast in July.
Right. Hopefully you're off enjoying your vacation. Maybe with a few podcasts. Maybe this podcast. Who knows?
But we will have one on August 4th. And we do have another event, though, coming up. We've got Twilight Camp on the 17th at Davis Kidd, the usual place, 5:30. That's just very casual. It's free. Come, bring your ideas. Maybe we'll do some tribe sourcing if that opportunity arises, if somebody's got a problem they would like us to talk about.
Nobody ever shows up with problems. No.
Everybody just brings their phone and wants to talk about their...
Yeah.
I got this app.
which is better than a bunch of geeks sitting around just looking into our phones and not actually interacting with other people. So did you notice that doesn't really happen? People are actually talking, you know, and sharing things on their phones, not getting lost in them. So it was good. It was good.
All right, that's about it. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks. And we look forward to getting back in touch with what's going on next week and a surprise guest that we have not yet booked. So we'll see you then.
I don't even know. All right. The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.